Radio. Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Well, it's not quite Scott Spears. It's second best to that. You're listening to Glenn Coble. Scott's taking the morning off, and so yours truly is going to run the show for him, the Now Show. And we're going to just kind of have a shooting the bull session, okay? I've got lots of things that I have in my phone that I thought maybe we could talk about. I thought we'd talk about Mardi Gras and Lent and that sort of thing. And you're always welcome to call in if you care to. The number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'll have a good morning. I'm going to be here the whole time, so you better get used to me. Sit back and, you know, get that cup of coffee. Occasionally, you'll hear me, what they call in the radio business, you'll hear a little dead air. Well, that'll be when I'm drinking my coffee, all right? Just give me a little break there. It's about, take about 3 seconds, and then I'll be right back. Anyway, we've got, like I said, we've got lots of ideas that I have put into my phone for years, and I'll talk about some of those, and I will talk about Mardi Gras and Lent. Hey, by the way, did you know what the day before Mardi Gras, you know, Mardi Gras, depends on how you pronounce it, it happened Tuesday, this past Tuesday, the day before yesterday, and the day before Mardi Gras, I had no idea. There's a name for it. It's called Lundi Gras, and I had never heard, and now it's spelled L-U-N-D-I-G-R-A-S, Lundi Gras. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. For those of you who know how the correct pronunciation is, you can give us a call and tell us if I'm all wet or not. Do you know what day comes right after Mardi Gras, which is Tuesday? Well, it was yesterday. It was Wednesday. It was called Ash Wednesday. For those of you who wondered why President Biden had a smudge on his forehead, the Catholic faith still places ashes on the forehead of their followers to remind them of the death of their Savior. So the ashes that were on his forehead were intended to be there. He didn't bump into something. Okay. I hope that clears some of that up for many of you. I didn't know what the ashes were on people's heads probably until I was in my teens. And I was a minister's kid. I should have, right? But I certainly didn't. Hey, some of the things that I've put down in my phone. Important lines for living. This is one of those lines that comes from a movie, and I absolutely love this movie. It's one of the few movies I'll watch two or three times more. I've seen it probably three times already. I don't usually like to go back to movies a second time. How about you? Once I've seen it, I've gotten all I can get out of it. I wrench everything out of a movie. I really get into movies, but usually one time is plenty. I think the movies that I've seen more than once, probably Ten Commandments. Let's see, what else? Very few. I saw Psycho only once, but that was once was more than enough. No, actually, I've seen Psycho twice. But not very many movies do I watch a second time. But this one, I've probably seen at least two or three times, and I plan to see it again. It was from the movie Field of Dreams. And the young man, who is played by Costner, is standing in the Field of Dreams, and his father, who is younger than he is, but of course he's a ghost. He's not really a ghost. He's a remembrance, I guess, by him. He asks his father, he says, "Hey, Dad, do you want to have a catch?" And that gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. Now, maybe it's because I had a son who was quite a baseball player, and I remember him asking me to. Now, I don't think he used the term "have a catch." I think he said, "Do you want to go out and play catch?" But that gives me goosebumps just to hear, "Hey, Dad, do you want to have a catch?" And the way it was done in the movie was so poignant, at least to me it was. And it's something I think all of us dads really relish, or most of us dads. There are some dads that are absent, without leave. Most fathers, I think, really love the feeling of playing catch with their kids, or playing Clue, or playing any game with their kids, especially when they're very young. And I enjoyed playing with my kids. I still do, quite frankly. I enjoy playing with my kids. I enjoy playing with my grandkids. Not as much as playing with my kids, because my body hurts a lot more now, and I can't do some of the things I did when I was a young father. I was a young father who was one of those that was absent a lot. I traveled with basketball teams and football teams and stuff like that, so I was not in the house many days. I was on, especially on the weekends. During football season, I was gone every other weekend for the whole weekend. And during basketball, it was on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and occasionally on the weekends, I was gone for 2 days each time. So I miss that, and I'm sorry that I did that to my kids, but it was part of my job, and they, I think, and to this day, I still think they understood it. Probably my daughter understood it less than my two boys, and yet my daughter was they were all three great athletes. But hey, let's go to the phone. We've got a caller that wants to say something. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Good morning, Glenn Coble. You sound kind of lonely out there.
I am a little lonely. There's no one here. It's me, and it's dark, and it's... and you were supposed to say it was going to get up to 50 today, but it didn't. It's only going to get to, what did you say, 33, something like that?
Yeah, freezing point today. kind of weird, and then Columbus is going to get 70 over the weekend.
Wow.
I mean, the Arnold event is going to be fascinating, because... they have athletes from all over the world. They said they're going to think they're in Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah.
Ohio isn't supposed to be 70 in early March. I mean, you know, I've seen 90s in March, not this early, but they're going to be kind of freaked out. But
does the Arnold always fall in March?
Yeah, or it's like the end of February.
Yeah,
I used to be involved. I posted some Facebook pictures about 10 years ago. I used to be involved through a client and friend of mine. End of February, I always think of it as being around February 29th, if there is a February 29th, but it's around this time, and then, you know, the illegal mandate in Columbus, you might have heard, is ending on the 7th, the day right after all the festivities end, at least that's what I read, so things happening during the early part of this month, not that I follow it to begin with, but for those who do. Anyway, I thought I'd bring up a less controversial, at least, between us topic, one we probably would agree wholeheartedly on.
Okay.
You haven't talked much about the baseball lockout. I mean, I know you're, I believe you're a baseball fan. You're certainly a sports fan.
Yeah.
Are you as disgusted as I am? What do they want? $750,000 a year minimum salary. I mean, that's minimum. I mean, the superstars make 20 or 30 million.
Yeah.
Tickets are ridiculous.
Or 55 million was asked for not too long ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure we've ever talked about it. I hate the DH rule. I'm a purist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Babe Ruth was a pitcher. You know, Otani speaks for himself.
Mm-hmm.
The Reds have had many, many good players that are good pitching defensively. And at the plate, Tom Seaver,
yeah,
for example. Greg Maddux was a serviceable hitter. Jose Rijo, one of my personal favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pete Rose, he probably could have pitched, but he played many positions and was very underrated in the field, I feel. Is there going to be a baseball season? I have Facebook posts of people wanting refunds, you know, bad-mouthing Castellini. You know, and Castellini's a good guy, but he's just as bad as the other owners. Is it gotten out of hand?
It's millionaires.
You know, $50,000 to see the Super Bowl. I mean, is this professional?
That's crazy.
Has the professional sports thing gotten totally out of hand with you, or do you think it's reasonable?
No, I think it's gotten totally out of hand, and it's millionaires suing billionaires is what it is. And on that strikeout or the walkout thing, I think it's absolutely nuts. And the minimum wage is $750,000. What was it before? Like 450,000 something.
I remember it being like 100, 150.
Yeah, I do too.
The thing too is, we understand that a single A player is not going to make money to buy a new Ferrari.
No,
but there's such a difference in salary. And once you make the 40-man roster, you make the major league salary. Now, $700,000 a year is a lot of money to me, and probably to you.
It sure is.
You're not going to be a multi-billionaire when your teammates are making 20 or 30 million, but you have teammates. And this might apply to Double A, because many times a Double A has the best prospects.
Mm-hmm, it does. A lot of people think Triple A.
They make $20,000-$30,000 a year, and they have a second job, and they can't afford a nice place to live. They, you know, four of them get an apartment together.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the bonus babies with their big, they still use that term, the big signing bonus.
I don't know if they do or not.
And you know, think of some of the players that I'm in multiple baseball discussion groups. On Facebook, you probably participate. This is one thing we can agree on, which is good. But even if we're preaching to the choir, Glenn, it's and you know, you being, hate to say it, a generation older than I am,
mm-hmm.
and I'm no
maybe
chicken,
more.
But you know, you're very young for your age. I don't think of you as being that old. But
thank you.
Anyway, I mean, you've seen how this has morphed.
Yeah.
I remember the first free agents back in the '70s. I think Curt Flood being one of the first, and you know. The difference in what these players made. I mean, look at what Johnny Bench and Pete Rose made. I mean, they weren't poor, but goodness sake.
Right.
How much would Johnny Bench make in today's salary structure?
Oh, my goodness. It would be out of sight. Yeah.
And these rule changes. So baseball really is a mess, and people are going to these independent leagues, which is good for Ohio because we have those leagues here.
Well, there's always complaints. Every time they have rule changes, there's complaints that the rule changes are too far. I don't mind the rule changes if they're in a positive mode trying to help the sport, but if they're just trying to make somebody else rich, that does bother me.
Yeah, I think the DH, the idea is to keep a veteran player who can hit, maybe mm-hmm. not run, maybe not field. Keep him on the field so like people can see him hit home runs.
Yeah.
That's not what the game's about.
No. Well, it's become that way, though.
You like to see strategy. You know, baseball is boring and slow-moving. That's part of the charm of it.
Yeah. You can think it through.
A lot of action. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of action in hockey. It's a different kind of a game.
I used to play racquetball with Tom Borwinkel. Do you recognize that name? Tom was... He was the center for the Chicago Bulls. He was a 6'11" or 7-footer. And Tom and I played racquetball once a week at least. And believe me, it's hard playing racquetball against a guy who has a wingspan of 7 feet. But
arms are a tremendous advantage.
Yeah. But Tom was so excited when he retired from basketball because he had made a contract for the next 30 years. He was going to make $30,000 a year. No. And he was the starting center for the Bulls. They would spit at $30,000 a year now. It's crazy. The money's going through the scene.
They should be compensated. And I think even maybe up to $5 million for a superstar. And
I'm looking at
Tommy because he's two players for the price of one. You know, is he a pitcher or a hitter? I don't know. He's Babe Ruth was a pitcher. So
yeah.
Those kind of players are exciting.
Well, now I have a son that's a grandson that's going to be pitching for the Tar Heels in two seasons from now, and he wants to hit, and he's been talking to his coaches. Will they allow him to hit and designate somebody else? Well, his season just started. His high school season just started the other day, and his very first hit went way out of the park. I think they might think about letting him hit. I don't know.
just looking at salaries, Glenn. How much did Johnny Bench make during his 17-year career, from I think like 69 to 85 approximately? I mean, only with the Reds.
Yeah.
Small market team.
I bet you could. He averaged about 50 to 75 thousand a year.
Yeah, highest salary was 400,000. I mean, that was that was in the mid 80s when he retired.
Yeah. Wow.
And I look at, when did I move back to Columbus? It was March of 87. Mm-hmm. Goodness sakes, that was 35 years ago. I'm coming up on my 35-year anniversary of my return to Central Ohio. So, at that point, he had just retired. His highest was $400,000.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
And what would he make today? I don't know, 30, 40 million at least.
Oh, you'd think, yeah. Yeah.
An interesting player, because his statistics were not eye-topping, but what he brought to the team, unless you were alive to see him play, don't mind the statistics. They're not bad, but certainly they're not what Mike Piazza did. But Piazza certainly wasn't as good in the field, but he was a great hitter.
Yeah.
He tried his best. I mean, he improved. It wasn't that bad, but he wasn't Johnny Bench.
You know, he was almost passed up to go to the majors.
62nd round draft pick because he was Tommy Lasorda's godson.
Yeah, that's right.
you never know. And there was a post like, which players have disappointed? Remember Brian Taylor?
Yeah.
With high hopes from Pokey Reese for the Reds?
Yep.
And I saw him play in the minors. Not a great hitter, but a great fielder. It just never panned out. He had personal issues.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know.
Yeah. One of my ball players, Mark Aguirre, when I was at DePaul, he left DePaul a year early so that he could take, as the number one pick of the draft that year, $400,000. That's all he made.
Not Mark McGuire, it's Mark Aguirre.
Mark Aguirre, yes, the basketball player, not the baseball player.
Okay, it's a similar name there.
Yeah.
that's another argument is the steroids. And the other thing is, like, should Clemens and Bond be in the Hall of Fame? And I say, no way.
I find it hard to, I don't think of them as Hall of Famers because of that, yeah.
Yeah, and you never know. Did everybody use steroids?
Yeah,
Jr. didn't, and he disappointed a bit with the Reds, but he's still a first ballot Hall of Famer. Give him credit for that.
Yeah.
I don't think he touched, and Pete Rose, I agree, he's not a saint. He didn't use steroids. He didn't need them.
Well, and
he didn't want them.
Maybe if he earned what he, if he got what he earned instead of the pittance that he made, maybe he wouldn't have had to bet on the games.
It's a valid argument, Glenn. I understand it's a biased opinion, but he should be in the Hall. And I think people have said once he passes away, that's unfortunate.
I think that's true. Yeah,
he's 80 now, but it's unfortunate to think that, but that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So are you also, Glenn, are you a DH hater like myself, or are you open-minded editor?
I've talked to...
I think of you as a bit of a purist like I am, so I think we probably... Maybe you don't agree as thoroughly as I do, but I get the feeling you're not really a DH guy.
Well, I kind of grew up with baseball when my youngest son became a baseball player. I was really not a big, huge baseball fan. I was a Cubby fan, but I was not a huge baseball fan. Coach Sholly down at Marietta College was my son's coach, and he was a purist, so I became a purist. I loved watching. He'd do rundown training 30 minutes a week, just teaching the kids how to do rundowns and the technical things of how you avoid getting tagged and stuff like that. I have become a purist. I agree with you. I think the DH is only to save old guys a job.
Tom Brady, well, I guess he retired. I think he's like Michael Jordan. He's going to come out of retirement.
I believe that,
try
too.
Try a different sport. I don't see, you know, think how old is Tom Brady. And so he's mid-40. He's still a good player.
Yeah, he is, and he takes care of himself.
Didn't Nolan Ryan kind of get better in his 40s? He was probably at his early 40s. He was probably at his peak.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he was a fastball pitcher. I mean, knuckleballer is okay. Phil Niekro, he was pretty good at 40. But
yeah, he was in his 40s,
Randy Johnson got better.
Yeah.
He didn't last as long as Ryan, but he had better control.
Yeah.
So I don't go for this. If you're going to make millions and millions of dollars, you can afford to stay in shape. And if you do have some, if you do decline a bit as you get older, well, that's unfortunate.
And I hate the 10-year contracts and stuff like that. Multi-million dollars for 10 years, you know. None of them last even the first 5 years, let alone 10, so.
Yeah, I mean, Joey Votto, he got $250 million for 10 years.
Yeah.
You never know with some of these guys. You're taking your chances, but you are gambling.
And it becomes kind of a mark of how good you are is how much you can claim that you're making. They don't need that type of money, but they want to be the highest paid player. Now, I had the first $1 million player in baseball history was one of our players at OU. It was Mike Schmidt. And that was a huge badge of honor for him to wear. And he was very proud of that.
He always played for the competing team, but he's from Dayton.
Yeah.
And I could pick another player from OU who's pretty good.
There have been a few,
That does bring out some good talent. But Schmidt, I always thought he struck out too much, but good player. He is a Hall of Famer.
Well,
and again, he and Kingman were always kind of next.
That's the next guy I was going to say.
Schmidt,
Kingman.
Kingman wasn't as good defensively. He was okay. I think Schmidt was thought of as a nicer guy, and he's from Dayton.
But Kingman could strike out with the best.
Yeah, they're always trying to strike him out, and at the worst time you get one 500 feet.
I appreciate your call.
No problem, Glenn. Glad I could help contribute content.
Fill the time, yes.
But I'm glad you feel that way about the DH.
I do.
I just think of it that way. I don't understand the logic.
I don't hate it. I just would prefer not to have it. That's all.
Football has three teams. There's some overlap, but there's basically three teams, and it's a different kind of a game.
Yeah.
And I like both games.
Yeah, me too.
So okay, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe there'll be a baseball season this year, but
okay.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
No.
See you later, Glenn. Thank
I
you.
Think there's too much money to be lost if they don't have it. So
yeah, well, I'm sure they'll figure something out.
I'm sure. Okay, bye bye, Adam. Waking me up. I love it. I love it. What a I needed that. My coffee wasn't working yet, but now after talking with Adam about baseball, I'm wide awake and ready to go at it. All right. Anyway, where were we? I was just about ready to. My father, not only was my father a minister, but he taught as an adjunct professor at Wabash College in Crawfordsville, Indiana. He taught English, and English was very important to him. And he would strangle me if I used the wrong tense. Anyway, and that's unfortunately a bugaboo I still have. When I hear people using the wrong tense, it kind of makes my neck, the hair on my neck go back up. Some of the things that important lines for living. This one's from a Beatles song that I absolutely adore. And the line at the end is, and in the end, the love you make. Wait a minute, I messed it up. And in the end, it's the love you make, not the love you take. I just love that one. And it doesn't necessarily mean the romantic love with a girl. It means the love you the love you make for the world is the love you take out of the world. And we need that more than anything in the world right now, is a little bit of love and understanding. It breaks my heart every day when I tend to watch a lot of news shows because of my job, and also because I've become very interested in politics. It breaks my heart every morning when I listen to all the innocents being snuffed out in Ukraine. But there are innocents all over the world being snuffed out. Ukraine's just got the spotlight on it right now because there's a madman in Russia that wants to take over, I guess, the world. Has very similar aspirations, I believe, to our former president, but is maybe a little bit more ruthless, having been a spy and trained as a spy. He has, like some people have said, has no soul. And I don't believe he will ever change. I just hope that somehow or other his leadership is snuffed by his own people, because it does seem like an awful lot of Russians protested against what he was doing. Unfortunately, he put them all in jail, or most of them. I don't know how many went to jail for that public display, but I don't know what we can do about people like that. In the 40s, we actually had to crush the man like that, Hitler, to stop his crazy aspirations. I did watch an interesting show that said, and they proved it by showing his hands quivering, shaking toward the end of his life. They believed that he had Parkinson's disease. He definitely had mental illness. I don't know about the Parkinson's disease. Another quote, the quote by an unknown person: aspire to inspire before we expire. That's something I always felt I was required to do when I worked at a university. I tried, and with some of them I succeeded, but not all of them. I tried to inspire my students, knowing full well that I was less than inspiring. I was kind of a weak leader, but I tried to give them a good example of kindness and empathy. I hope that before I say goodbye to you all, I hope that I have the opportunity to inspire somebody else to be a better person. That's one of the reasons why I do radio shows. It's one of the reasons why I ran for office. It's not because I want to become rich and powerful. It's because I've always felt it was my duty, and it was given to me by my mother and father. It was my duty to help people find the best in themselves. And I think we all can find a little bit better self just by working a little harder at it and thinking more about it. You know, if you'd stop and think about it, and self-examination, I believe, is, you know, my wife looks at me and says, "What are you doing?" I'm thinking. "What are you thinking about? What I can do to be better at such and such?" And she'll kind of roll her eyes and look away. But I do spend a lot of time. She thinks I'm just taking a nap. And sometimes I am. But I do a lot of thinking about how I can be better and how I can inspire other people to be better. My my one big thing I'm thinking about now is how can I start a community garden that will help the people in the Marion area that don't have enough to eat and don't have good food to eat. They're buying all that junk, the chips and the sugared cereal and all that stuff, and never eating a vegetable or any fruits. And I'm just trying. I've written an outline of how I can do it. I'm going to have on next week, by the way, on Thursday, on my my morning show. I'm going to have I forgot her last name. Dr. Marilyn. Anyway, she's a leader of a local garden group, and she's going to come on and tell us how we can get prepared for spring, and that'll be on my Thursday show from 10:15 till noon. And I just love getting excited at this time of the year about how I can start my garden and things like that. I know it's an old man type of thing, but I really do enjoy it, and I've enjoyed gardening since I was a kid. My mother and father both had, well, Dad was given a plot of land when we moved to South Bend. It's kind of a supplement to our salary, a little chunk of land that we could go out and garden so that we had food, vegetables, basically not free of charge, but pretty close to free of charge. And we did that every summer, and I love doing it, and I hope that Dr. Marilyn will teach us how to do some more of that next Thursday. Okay, if my dog makes you unhappy, I'd be glad to lock you in the other room. That's a term, I saw that somewhere, as an important line to live on. The reason why I thought that was important is, how often is it that the dog is smarter than you are? Or how often is it that the dog is kinder than you are? Or how often is it you love the dog better than you love your family? I do love my dog a lot, and he's pretty new to our family, less than a year. And now my previous dog, Cheyenne, I loved her to, until she died, but she had a good long life of 17 years, and this one I hope we have just as long a life. Buddy, that's his name, he's a very happy little puppy. He enjoys life, and he makes us all happy. But anyway, if my dog makes you unhappy, I'd be glad to lock you in the other room. I love that expression. This is a truism that I've run across in my life. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. That was said by Mark Twain. In other words, if you tell the truth all the time, you can always repeat the truth because you know what the truth is. Sometimes if you lie, you've forgotten what your lie is involved in. Like if I say to my wife, no, dear, I didn't go have a beer. I went and met with somebody at Starbucks. Well, tomorrow I may forget that I told her I went and met with somebody at Starbucks, and I'll tell you, no, dear, I went to Walmart to shop, and she will know right off the bat that I told a little fib. Now, I don't do that very often anymore, but every once in a while. But you shouldn't, because it's a lot easier to remember the truth than to remember which lie you tried to push off on your friends or your wife or your children or whatever. That was a statement by Mark Twain. He was a pretty sharp old guy, huh? He wasn't that old, I guess, but he was a pretty sharp person that we can include in our pantheon of great people from the United States. Here's one, Tyga. And I'm not quite sure that I know who Tyga is, but that we're quoting Tyga here. Hate comes from intimidation. Love comes from appreciation. I think we've lost The meaning of love. Now, I think my father told me the Greeks had 7 or 8 different terms, uses, or words that meant different versions of love. And so many people think when I say to you, oh, I love you, or something like that, they're thinking the romantic type of love. Well, sometimes it doesn't mean that at all. Matter of fact, I would say most of the time, especially as you get older, most of the time it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that you have that warm spot in your soul that says, this person is a good person and I want to be around them a lot. It's kind of a neat thing as you get older. My wife and I have been married 52 years, and I'm absolutely convinced I love her more now, or in a better way at least, than I ever did. I'm glad that that's the way it's, my love has migrated. Now, the romantic love is still there, but the other type of love is stronger, I believe. The type where you think about leaving her, or her leaving me, and you just can't stand it. We all have to face that eventually, I guess. Harvey Specter said this: I could agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. And I've done that at times. You know, it's part of the art of negotiation, where you agree with somebody even though you know they're wrong. If you can mellow it and then mold it, maybe later, whatever you've agreed to that was wrong, that you knew was wrong, maybe you can adjust it. I don't know if that's true or not. Sometimes negotiation is overrated, but sometimes it's underrated. So we could certainly use some fine negotiation right now, and I'm sure there is tons of negotiation going on in our world, trying to find a way to convince a madman to be conscious of his errors and evil. And I don't know if we'll ever convince him of that. The things you can find if you don't stay behind. That's Dr. Seuss said that. Oh, the things you can find if you don't stay behind. And I like this Dr. Seuss quote particularly because of my show, the A Progressive Life. That is a definition of progress right there. Oh, the things you can find if you don't stay behind. If nothing else explains what progress is, or progressive, that does right there. If you stay behind, you're not going to see what can be done. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. Boy, is that true. And doubt is one of the things that slows an awful lot of people down. If I do that, what will that cause this to happen? Well, if you worry about it too much, you'll never do what you probably should do. So, anyway, we were talking about also some of the things around Mardi Gras. Do you know what famous father and son were each crowned King Bacchus at New Orleans Mardi Gras? They were famous father and son. Alan and Robin Thicke. You remember those? Great singers. I loved, I can't remember the name of the song that I used to love that Thicke did, but they were both made King Bacchus at the New Orleans Mardi Gras. My son and daughter, my young son and daughter, just came back from New Orleans. And they went right the week before. So actually they came home on, what was the name of that? Lundi Gras, the day before Mardi Gras. They came home to avoid all the crowds and craziness. But Andrew said it was getting a little crazy and crowded down there. He was a little disappointed. He said there were an awful lot of empty storefronts, not right on the French Quarter, but pretty close. So he was feeling bad for the merchants down there, since he is a merchant himself. Hey, we're going to come back here and about 15 minutes, and we'll talk more about it. We're just rambling today. I hope you are enjoying yourself. If you want to get involved, you can always call us at 740-383-9944 and get involved in our discussion, 740-383-9944. And it's 29 degrees, and you're listening to Now here on WWGH. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.